Blog Talk Radio.
From the forests of Turtle Island, we're back with Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and guess what? Leading off this beautiful show, we have Spooky Lou. Are you there?
Hey, what's going on, brother? How's your night going?
Hey, not bad, man. We're back better than ever with part two of Bigfoot.
Who's that? I know I heard something. They're gonna come and kill me, I know they will. They're listening to me. What am I trying to do?
There we go, man. Can't have a paranormal show without your theme music, man.
Absolutely not. It's the best. I was kind of feeling your music. Where'd you get that? Where'd you find that Bigfoot song?
Oh, I got a couple of soundtracks for the show today. If you want to hear some, man, I got some Bigfoot songs, you know. It kind of, there's a lot of, songs, man, that, you know, that folklore stuff, you know. But
very deep, very deep. Oh, I would assume so.
Wait a minute. We have. Wait, is this true? Wait a minute. I'm just reading the chat. Oh, wow. We have. I don't believe it. Yo, Lou, check this out, Spooky Lou. She is known in Taino Radio as Scary Steph. Are you there?
Hey, Sanakori.
Yeah. Wait, Scary Steph survived the powwow on Saturday. She's back.
I did. I survived the powwow.
How was it? How was the powwow? I wasn't there.
It was nice. For the first powwow that we had out here, one of the first since COVID, it was a decent turnout. Shockingly, we had about maybe 10 Tainos that were there. So it was interesting. It was good to see, you know, the people coming out and dancing and competing and, you know, sharing space with everyone. Hopefully the next one is a little bit bigger. Hopefully we can get you out here for one of the powwows soon. Or, you know, I might just come down there.
Yeah, either or, you know what I mean? But definitely I think you guys need to come make a trip out here. Did you run into any Bigfoots at the powwow?
Bigfoot. Well,
no,
he was definitely
I didn't
around.
See any Bigfoot. Turtles, maybe, but no Bigfoot.
Interesting, right? I have a question, Lou, because I know you know a lot of people from all over. So, you know, back in the days, I used to be part of this chat, this native chat, and there was this girl there who told me she was part of a secret tribe, right? So, Different natives run, you know, they have different societies depending what part of the nation they're in. And up north where she's from, which I know that tribe pretty very well, you know, I would say. And, you know, they have, well, we all know, right? You have different kind of clans, turtle clan, right? Wolf clan. She said she was part of the Bigfoot clan. Now, have you ever heard of anything like that? Or is this just some, like, made up fairy tale secret clan that's out there?
Well, what did she tell you?
I thought she told me, because we were talking about different clans and stuff, and she told me that she was part of a clan that was a secret, that a lot of people don't know about them, but that their clan was called the... I'm laughing because I wonder if she's pulling my leg. And Bigfoot clan, you know, when I asked natives up there, especially in her area, they were like, have you ever heard of that clan before? So you should know that it's not true. But you never know. I was just curious because, you know, a lot of people, you know, that's been around the world and see lizard people and, I don't know, been in the center of the earth. So I'm curious about if you ever heard of anything called the Bigfoot clan.
You know what? I have never heard of that, the Bigfoot clan. But in a lot of these shows that I see on TV or on Discovery Channel, whatever, they're always quoting some what do you call it, either medicine man or family. Have you noticed that they're always asking the locals, the local tribes, and they always have a story, you know? But then the show will be like, you know, like discounts them, like they don't really recognize them, like telling the truth or whatever. I don't know.
Who doesn't recognize who for telling the truth?
Like in these shows, they always interview the natives, and it's like they push to the side, you know, and they go back to the science or they go back to the lab, but they never really sit down with these native peoples and get their full understanding of Bigfoot. Does that make sense? I don't know. It's just I always see these shows like that. It's like they push to the side almost, like folklore. Not like a matter of fact. Does that make sense? That's just my opinion. Hello?
That's interesting.
Yeah,
wait, Luke,
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened there.
I got you back.
I touched my ears and it just hung up. I'm still learning how to use these iPads or iPod, and it just hung up the call.
Oh,
what
goodness.
The hell?
See, you're more hip than me. I refuse to get iPod. I refuse.
Well, they were a gift. I'll be honest. They were a gift, so that's why I had them. Not, I would have never bought them myself. So thank you for donating the iPods. You know who you are. So.
Just watch your brains, man. Yeah?
Yeah, it's too late for that, man.
Just watch your brains.
Fried, bro.
It's a lot of radiation, man. All right.
Yeah, we already know this, right? Like, what can we do? You eat a burger and it's radiated. I mean, it's part of life. I barely use them, though. But I miss what you were saying. That they don't give Native people enough respect when it comes to when the shaman speak, or the medicine man, I should say, not shaman, right? When the medicine man talks about folklore and about Bigfoot.
Exactly.
But you have to understand, Lou, you know, at the same time, these scientific people, they have to, you know, play that role, because even though they probably secretly believe and I'm sure they respect, they can't just take, you know, oral traditions. They have to go by facts, and that's what science is based on. So, you know, you can't really fault these shows and scientists, because they have to really present proof, even though they're probably laughing stock of the other scientific community for even investigating stuff like this. You know what I mean? But well, but in order for them to gain that respect, they probably have to present themselves that way. But go ahead.
Well, it's like red versus white. Red, the red culture will tell you, oh no, they walk among us. They're our brother and sisters. And then the white science be like, no, we need hair samples. No, we need this. We need that. So it's like they don't believe them. You know,
well,
you got the natives, so they live with them.
Like I said, you know, I even if they believe, I just think that they can't, you know, automatically just co-sign and say, yeah, you know, I believe you, because as a scientist, you know, how many scientists and doctors believe in God, but publicly they don't say they do because they have to go by science. You know, off the record, they will tell you, yeah, they believe in God. You know, they do pray or whatever the case may be, but, you know, that's just the way science works. So, you know, it depends. I'm just trying to give scientists, you know, their respect as well, because I think they're doing a great job of trying, you know. But also, you know, with that same token, definitely respect medicine men, especially for sharing those stories when they don't have to begin with. So just to me alone, allowing them to be interviewed and talks to me so that there's some sort of, you know, respect, and they want to learn. They just can't outright, I think, say it, right? That's my point of view when it comes to that. But, I mean,
I like to tell the scientists that are listening right now, put your lab coats away, come to the campfire. If you have courage, you will meet Bigfoot. See, but they're too scared, though. They don't want to do that. You know,
I don't know.
They never want to sit with the natives at night, in the middle of the night. They never want to do it.
I mean, we really don't know that. I mean, I think that's. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you do. I don't know. I think they do. Maybe the natives don't want to sit with them. Maybe they're like, I don't want to do that with you because you're not respectful enough. You know, who knows what's going on behind it? But I think there's a lot of factors that goes on when it comes to these shows and oral tradition. Oral tradition is always great, you know, it's always beautiful. But we live in a scientific world today, which is mixed, so we do have to still follow the laws of science. That's what people don't get, I think. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think the scientists, they get a little scared because in Native cultures you have a lot of stories of Bigfoot being a physical being, but also a spiritual being. You know, like the Lakotas believe he's spiritual. You know, that the caretaker of the ceremony, protector of the ceremonies. And if anyone's doing not so good ceremony, he will be pushed out, you know, through Bigfoot or Sasquatch. So that's why I think they get a little hesitant when they hear these stories of spiritual worlds, you know. So
Absolutely. I had some friends that, matter of fact, I can't remember what tribe he was from, but it was up north, by Canada, up BC, British Columbia, but it's like all the way up there. I forgot the name of the tribe right now. And he was telling me that same story. You know, we were talking about Bigfoot, and he was saying that in his tribe, you know, he said they definitely believe him because they see him on his land, on their land all the time. And he's the first one to explain to me that these beings, you know, they're from a different, they're on our plane, but they can step into a different dimension at any time. And that's why people say that these Bigfoot can disappear, or there's UFO involved or paranormal stuff involved, because they can be they can appear physically, but they can also disappear and walk into a different plane of existence, is what I was explaining, you know. Mm. But and to me, I you know, I took it with a grain of salt. Like, that's just a little too much. How can these, you know, beasts, you know, for lack of better words, you know, these apes, these animals, have the power to, you know, rip through time or escape to another plane? But of course, that's my ignorance, because thinking, how do we know that they're not more intelligent than we are, and know how to use, how to take themselves to a spiritual realm, you know, on their own? Is this too much spooky?
Yeah.
I mean, scary stuff?
I don't know. I mean, there seems to be this idea just in spirituality and religion in general regarding Bigfoot, that it labels them, it, as spiritual beings. So who's to say that the form that they take on isn't just an image that's created or projected for this realm? You know, who's to say that in another form they don't look different? Or who's to say that maybe we're not intelligent enough to just be able to recognize them for how they are, and we misconstrue how they look? You know, considering
very deep.
So many people that have had these visions and these sightings, these spiritual sightings and spiritual experiences with a Bigfoot, considering all of them are labeling the look the exact same way, but it's never too clear, it's never too bright, it's never too, you know, direct. It's always, you know, there is no real communication. It's just like the mensando, you know, it's like the motions between them and them understanding, you know, it's a mental connection between the two, opposed to it being this physical interaction of communication. So maybe we have this image of them, and that's not what they really look like. That's just how we're portraying them, because we're vibrationally maybe not able to recognize them for what they are. I mean, like I said, in the last show, some people think that they're Nephilims. So
yeah, and you're right. And you brought up a good point, you know, what you were just saying right now. And you know, Lou, what's interesting is, going back to scientists, a lot of people complain. A lot of people always report when they set up these cameras or these hunters cameras to catch Bigfoot. A lot of people always report of malfunction, things malfunctioning, equipment is malfunctioning. So you're right. Who knows if they were able to utilize some sort of vibration, you know, to tap into some sort of power, within themselves, and they can cross planes of existence and come into Earth, disrupts everything. They're capable and aware of you know, anything that's mechanical, you know, anything that's out there, they can disrupt easily, and they can go from back and forth. And you're right. What if we see them as these giant, you know, mongoloid ape-looking things in reality? When they go back into their existence, you know, they're human beings in their existence. And they can't communicate with us because they're at a different level. I know we're going, like, on a whole different, you know, tangent here, but these are great concepts that I think people don't really discuss enough about Bigfoot, because it's just an amazing beast. I'll tell you my story. I've never seen Bigfoot, right? I've never seen anything or had remotely anything close to what I would say is Bigfoot. I think I shared in my last story. I will say, I'll tell you the closest thing that people claim, the people that I was with, right? Because personally, I can't vouch for it. But I will say the name of the reservation. I was out up north in Winnipeg. Actually, it's not even Winnipeg. It's way before Winnipeg. There's a reservation called Roseau River, right? I think it's called Roseau River. Beautiful place. And that reservation has an annexed area that's off the reservation, but it's also considered a reservation. And I went down there with some close friends of mine that have family on there. And one night we went ghost hunting. It was the most paranormal night I've ever experienced. One of the most. It was action-packed. Right? One day, you know, we'll have a show on the stories of paranormal stuff, and it was amazing. This place is just so full of paranormal activity. Not just paranormal activity, but everything. UFO stuff. Everyone down there talks about seeing Bigfoot and having all these kinds of encounters. It blew my mind, my own personal encounter that I had. Right? End of the night, we go to the back, we're at the house, we're all hanging out, and I go to the backyard just to relax. And I'm not going to lie to you, I was scared, okay, scared of the night I had. I'm going to keep it real. And I remember sitting back there with a friend of mine, and he was smoking a cigarette, and we're just talking about what happened and what we just experienced. And out of and behind the house is nothing but forest, so rural. Like, it's just, it's so thick, those mountains and forests. I don't even think that they have Homeland Security really blocking the area, because it's really hard to get through. I'm sure they do, but it's really hard to get from one side to the other, right? So thick. And all I remember is that we're just standing there, middle of darkness, nothing but forest behind this house, and a rock like get stoned by it, like towards us from the forest, right? One, and I was like, what is that? Then there was like another one, and then it was like a mini boulder just being thrown again. And he's like, you see, and he said that many times people claim behind the house there is a Bigfoot. They call it like a Bigfoot highway. So that's where they're going back into their plane of existence, and that's where they come through, and every once in a while they get rocks thrown at them. I personally experienced the rocks. I didn't hear any howling. I didn't hear anything else. I mean, at that point, I was scared shitless. I don't like to curse too much, but I was like, what else could happen tonight? It was insane. But that's the closest experience I ever had to Bigfoot, you know. I know you two guys living in the city have many encounters with Bigfoot, but it's a different kind of Bigfoot, correct? Did I lose you guys?
Hello?
Did Lou have an experience?
I was kidding.
No.
I said you guys living in the city have different kind of experience with Bigfoot. But it's,
I've dated some guys that remind me of Bigfoot, but
there you go.
That
That's my point. That's my point. Hope I didn't bore you with my story.
I don't think those count, because they're not godly. I tell you that.
Wow.
As you said that, I'm looking at photos of big feet.
Big feet. You got a foot fetish, son, buddy?
Oh,
nah, you know
God.
those cement prints that they do of Bigfoot?
That's right.
The castings.
Yeah, the minute you said that, I'm looking at all these castings.
Interesting. Oh, wait, by the way, if anyone out there wants to join in and share any stories or anything, give us a call at 515-602-9792. That's 515-602-9792. Come share your stories. We're not going to judge you. We're just going to add on, right, to the weirdness.
Now, Lou, I was reading through the literature today on Native Americans' understanding of Bigfoot or Sasquatch.
Okay.
And what they're talking about is definitely it's a brother or a elder that brings messages to the human people, you know, to the tribes. And when they do bring a message, something is going to happen. Something powerful is going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, I remember many years ago, I was at an event for Leonard Peltier, and I don't know how it came up, but we're talking about Bigfoot, you know, Sasquatch and stuff. Some people had stories, you know.
Okay.
The best story of the day, I remember, was right after the event. One of the guest speakers, he's Tinklet from Alaska, I believe. No, the Yukon Territory.
That's where he's from. That's where my friend is from. He's Tinklet, too. Go ahead.
Right. So he overheard us, and he's like, ha, ha, ha. My people almost destroyed the Bigfoot clan. And we're like, we're looking at him like, what? It's like, we're all ears, man. So basically he told us that when during a time of famine, it was like the 1800s that the oral tradition was passed down, that the Sasquatches literally raided their village because there was like a famine that winter. It was a harsh winter in the Sasquatches. So the warrior societies had to defend the village. If not, they were all going to be destroyed. So they managed to kill many of the Sasquatches, and the rest just went their way. They never came back, out of respect, I guess, of the warrior societies that defended the village. But he said it with dead straight seriousness and also pride. He said, yeah, man, we took down the Sasquatches. They're lucky they're still around because we almost exterminated them. So That was a straight up oral tradition story right there that Tinklet were very proud of. Well, at least this clan that fought the Sasquatches. So there's
an
oral tradition.
No, there is, and I made a mistake. The guy, my friend, was from Haida. That's what it was. No, I just looked it up and I remembered.
Oh,
my
yeah.
Apologies.
Okay, but it's interesting. That's the first story I ever heard of Sasquatches in a negative way, you know, against natives. That's what I remember that, because you always read stuff that's positive. But this one was like, yeah, they were out to kill the tribe because they needed food, you know. But it was,
oh, wow.
It was quite an interesting story. I believe them, man. It was like a cultural pride for his clan, you know, with the Tinklet people. So I never forgot that.
Yeah, I've heard stories. Matter of fact, I think I heard another story one time of what's the tribe out in Florida? They have the casinos out there. They're big. I forgot the name.
I was going to say Seminole, but I don't think it's a Seminole.
That's it.
It is a Seminole?
Yes. I remember, I think it was the Seminoles. I came across a story one time that they said, because it kind of reminds me of what Lou said, and one of the legends were, and if I'm wrong, please someone call and correct me, that during the first, when the British got here, you know, they were killing off a lot of the natives. When they were down there, a lot of the natives had no choice but to run into the swamp, and they were all getting killed. And there was a story that these Bigfoots came out of nowhere and ended up killing the British Army and saved this tribe.
What?
Yeah, you ever heard that story? It's a
no.
Story, yeah. I think it was the Seminoles, and it's an oral tradition as well. And they were down there. They were all dying off, and they were getting killed, and they ran into the swamps, and they were about to get killed, and these Bigfoots came out of nowhere and wiped out a whole army of British troops, and they were able to survive.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah, it goes back to what Lou's saying about how they were brothers. But it's true, but I've heard other, you know, natives say that they're not friendly. But go ahead, Lou. What were you going to say?
Also, in New Mexico, they talk about the giant people that came to help humanity, you know, Pueblo traditions. Sounds like Bigfoot to me. Sasquatches, you know, came to defend the people. There's a connection there.
Maybe that's
very interesting.
I've told you about out here in Arizona. I think it's called Love Lock. There's Love Lock Cave. Not Arizona, sorry, Nevada.
Nevada, yeah.
They talk about the giants that lived in the cave, and they were cannibals. They were eating the native tribes. They were killing the natives that lived there. They would raid their camp and then bring them back and eat them up. So I'm laughing, but it's messed up. And they were bringing back, and they were eating the native people inside the caves. And then the tribe got mad, and then finally they blocked the cave off and killed them all and burned them. So are the giants the same, or Sasquatch is different, you know?
Well, doesn't Sasquatch come from, like, the Pacific Northwest? I thought that's where the name Sasquatch came in, but isn't it basically the same concept? Because I'm pretty sure they classify the Yeti as the same concept as well in some instances.
That's right, they do. Yeah, right. Then you have the abominable snowman.
Mm-hmm, because the Yeti is for Asian culture.
So I see.
And,
so like the Mongolians and the Tibetans, they do the
correct,
Yeti.
Correct, correct. Oh, mm-hmm. But Lou, really quick, because I know you have something to say. Also, kind of, you know, in the discussion last week, where that show, I forgot the name of the show right now. It's a show I watch all the time too. And the guy, they went out there and they found some hairs and they brought the and it was like in that Yeti territory. They went, brought it back to testing with some DNA, and when it came back, it said that that DNA said that they couldn't. There was no. There was inconclusive because they couldn't compare it to anything. It wasn't an animal. They had no idea, but it wasn't human. That much they did know.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
where was that found?
Like that
where?
Too, with DNA.
Where was this? What show?
Lou, you're going to put me on the spot. I can't remember right now.
Was
it
the...
This was Josh. I forgot the guy's name. Josh. Let me look it up.
Well,
I forgot the guy's name.
Oh,
Josh
I know
Gates.
Who you're talking about. Josh Gates, yeah.
Yeah.
He does, crap, it's an adventurer show where he goes out and he tries to look
oh, Destination
up
Truth.
Things up.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Destination Truth. That's where he went. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Josh
two.
Gates is
called,
notorious for that.
Yeah, he has one called Expedition Unknown, but this is when he was on when he was on Destination Truth. They would go out to places and explore paranormal places. They would explore Bigfoot, and then I give him props if it's real, because as we were discussing last week, a lot of these, I'm not going to talk bad about these shows, but I know factually it's not what they really present, or who they are is really, you know, or who they say they are is not always factual, but that he claims he found, he didn't claim, he was on the show. He found hair, sent it back, and that was the results, and that was pretty interesting. But go ahead, Lou, what were you going to say?
Well, in our own Taino tradition, we have Sasquatch tradition, you know, stories of Kuko.
We do. Please share.
At Kuko.
The Kuko.
Yeah, it's a big monster that's going to grab you at night. You know, and many versions of the story, he's very tall, he's ugly,
yeah,
hairy.
True. Very true.
And also, in Dominican Republic, they got sahuapas, similar to El Cuco. And they sound like Sasquatch, man. And it's always like a spiritual being, you know. But was it made up? Or was it actually from the forest, you know? It's very similar, a lot of these stories, you know. What do you think, man? So we have a whole story. So does it come from facts or what?
Right. I don't know. I mean, native stories, native folklore, for me personally, it always has something behind it. You know, the story always comes from
some sort of truth.
Something. Right, exactly. So if you guys are going to put out here all of these native references, I mean, there's got to be something there. There has to be. Now, whether or not we're going to be able to find physical evidence of it, more than likely not. If it's going to be something that is spiritual, right, I feel like it's going to be impossible for us to ever scientifically be able to identify it. It's just not going to happen. Genetically, it wouldn't be able to be done. Scientifically, I don't think that they would have a means to be able to do that, because the entity itself wouldn't allow it to be done. It would have to be done on some extraterrestrial type psychic kind of, I don't know, something. But I don't think scientifically they're going to be able to find a hair that belongs to Bigfoot and be able to identify it scientifically. Not if it's something, you know, that is spiritual, based off of Native folklore. I don't think so.
Well,
yeah, it was spiritual.
I found a song by Robert Miraba, Pueblo Native American singer. I want to play a clip from one of his songs. He talks about these giants. And,
okay.
And let's see if we find a correlation. Hold on a second. I'm going to play it now.
They say there were giants that roamed the land. They came from the sky, fell in love with the sons and daughters of the earth. They had the ability to read your mind and foresee the future. The men would go hunting in the mountains for deer and elk. The women would prepare offerings to honor these giants.
Yeah, so that video, that song, is taken from Carlos Miraba, and the song is called, hold on a second, I just lost the song, The Stilt Walkers.
Yeah, but what the hell is he doing? Is he getting beat up? Sound like SNM or something's going on. enjoying it.
Wait, you didn't hear the words?
No, I couldn't understand what he was saying. We all, I have no idea what he was
saying. No. Wait a minute, but you didn't hear what he was saying, Robert?
No, what was he saying?
Wait a minute.
It was clear.
I can't lie. I'm right there with Lou. I couldn't hear anything he said.
I know he was saying something, but it sounded like S&M to me. You can't whip, but give it again. Too much fun with Bigfoot here. I don't know.
Oh, man, that's sad, man.
Come on, brother.
You know what? Because I'm getting it from YouTube. I don't have the actual track for it.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I think me and Lou are just a little messed up.
What's that?
Creepy and spooky, or spooky and creepy. I don't know, man.
Hey.
I mean, Lou, you didn't hear it?
Okay, I got the lyrics. I'll just say a little bit of it. Ready?
All right. I'm ready. Just skip that part, though, but go ahead.
Wait, hold on a second. That's the wrong text.
Yeah,
all right, here we go. Ready? It's kind of profound because it kind of describes what all these other people are saying, you know? All these natives and stuff, traditions. And basically... All right, this thing is messing me up. It's giving me all these crazy other lyrics that I don't need.
Well, what do you say? Don't worry about it. I'll explain a little bit what he's saying. I'm sure you understand.
Okay, basically they're saying
the gist.
Yeah, basically says that his people a long time ago honored these giants, and these giants fell in love with humanity, and they promised to protect them from all harm. And
okay.
Then that sound that you hear, like them yelling and stuff, is like them actually defending humanity from outside forces. So they, and then the women always will honor these giants in the forest. They will give them food, and they will do these special ceremonies for them. So it's interesting that natives have always had that belief system of, you know, having this connection with them. Like they believe that they exist and they honor them. So here's this old Pueblo, you know, story that he's reciting. It ties it all together. So I don't know. What do you think?
That is pretty deep. That is very deep. That our traditions say that. I mean, it's just interesting. Imagine being here, not even a few hundred years ago. Imagine living here 1,000 years ago on this continent.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear someone's background. But imagine walking through the forest and seeing something you don't understand. Just, you know, could it have been a bear? Was it sick? But the interesting thing is we've been having this oral tradition on this side of the world. And, I mean, just a few years ago, I remember when I was in Canada, there was a recent sighting, maybe a few years ago. People know what they're seeing for the most part. I think people, you know, understand their intellect. Well, I'm not saying their intellect, but they're, you know, they're not crazy for the most part in masses or ignorant. I don't think everyone's just ignorant and crazy. I think people understand that they're seeing something that they don't understand what they're looking at, you know. So it is an interesting situation when people say they see these things called Bigfoot. I don't know. Like the prior guests we had. Where he said he saw a spiritual Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
I was going to say the same thing. Because both of them did. Both of them said basically it was spiritual for both of them.
Exactly.
In a sense.
But one of them said it materialized and then it became a spirit. The other one reached it by a ceremony, which is mind-boggling. And both, you know, it kind of solidified each other's experience of what they had.
It did.
What they had, you know.
But it definitely gave additional perspective.
Exactly. It did give additional perspective because I never really looked at Bigfoot from a spiritual point of view, you know. And
we have a caller.
Here. We have a caller? Okay, perfect.
Let's get him on. Hello, caller. Are you there from the Bigfoot forest?
What's up, Lou? What's going on?
Hey,
who's this, Renee? How's it going, brother? How's everything?
My bro, and they good, man, good. From the concrete jungles of New York. What's going on,
yes,
man?
Brother. Everything is good, brother.
Good.
You're talking about one of the most interesting subjects. I love these subjects, man. That's why, you know, these things are cool. I always watch these documentaries on Bigfoot, you know?
Good.
Yeah. So, you ever heard of a story of the Redhead Giants?
Yeah, I was just talking about it earlier from, I believe it's Lovelock Cave out here in Nevada, bro, the Redhead Giants who were eating natives, right? Yeah, definitely. You know, I want to go take a trip up there. I haven't been able to go. It's about 6 hours from me. And the cave is still there, and people say that there was a real fire in there, and there's proof.
Yeah, there was.
That there was a fire
was
in there. Yeah.
Yeah, they found residue of a fire, and they found the skulls, actually. And when you look at the skull, you think it's like a regular
bones,
human
right?
skull, but put it, yeah, the bones, but put it next to a regular human skull. Man, they were giants. I mean, they try to, this is one of my pet peeves about these people that study these things, like when you watch documentaries, this is one of my pet, and the reason I say my pet peeves, because I know these people. I know some of these people, right?
Correct.
And the thing is, like, when they try to involve aliens into the subject, right? Like, these people are aliens. These people were, you know, whatever the case may be, right? Because that's how they make money. That's how they make money into it.
Wait. So explain this to me. You know scientists who like to involve, like, BS? Or explain it so everyone can understand.
So I know a few people who knows the people from the shows of Ancient Aliens. You know that show Ancient Aliens.
I don't like that show at all.
Yeah, I hate the show.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, me too.
And I know people who fabricate certain things if you don't say the word alien, you don't get paid. Right? I know a lot of Egyptologists who don't believe in aliens, but what they do is, in order to get people on tours, come over here and search for ancient technology, possibly alien technology from the pyramids and stuff like that, because they need
money.
The Egyptians are not stupid. You know, they're not stupid.
Of
they're
course.
The Americans, the Americans love this stuff, you know. So that's the only thing I hate when they try to perpetrate some of these things. And the same thing is with Bigfoot in some of these documentaries. So a lot of it is that Bigfoot was aliens that they did experimentations on humans, right?
Correct. I've heard that theory.
Right. So one of those things. And not to say that I'm not sure if Bigfoot is this or not, because I'm not – maybe he does, because, listen, a lot of people who've seen it. So, I mean, I don't know, right? So I've never seen it, but – there is, like, you know, that big famous video with Bigfoot in the arm walking, that black and white. I don't know that whole video.
The original footage from the 70s.
They found out that video was bull crap, right?
Correct. I hear that it's
fake,
and I hear that it's not fake.
They found out that it was bullshit later on. You know, that the guy had the guy came out, and what happened is the guy that was under suit actually had a cliff on his arm that walked like Bigfoot. Like, he actually walked like that. His arm is deformed. So they put him on the suit, and he started walking like that, and it looked like Bigfoot. Yeah, so that's how they used to do it, you know, back then, and they found that out. So. Not to say that Bigfoot doesn't exist. It's just you have to be.
By the way, to let everyone know, you're speaking of the Patterson-Gimlin film, but go ahead. That's what it was called. It was like 50 years ago, I think, when that thing came out.
Mm-hmm. Was it 50? I think so. I think it was like 50.
Wait a second. That film was fake, but they did a lot of testing on it. They did.
Not to cut you off, Lou. The guy supposedly, when he was in his deathbed, said it was fake. That's what happened. But there's another guy that's still alive that said it's bull, that it is real. So that's why there's like an ongoing debate. But I know what you're speaking of, because there's been a lot of scientific experiments on the film, and scientists want to say that it's real. But then again, it could be what Renee's saying. They're probably saying this for money. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of it is for money. Like, you ever heard of this story called the Paraca Skulls? Maybe some people have here. If you haven't
it
heard
sounds familiar.
Story?
It's ringing a bell.
Okay.
It's ringing a bell.
Yeah, well, Lou might find is very interesting. Lewis might find is very, very interesting. Paraca skulls were a group of native skulls that they found in Peru. And these skulls are, they look like the natives practiced the cranial deformation, which they are the biggest skulls. I mean,
they were elongated, right?
I've seen those.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
They were similar to what Akhenaten skull looked like, I believe.
Right. So that's what this is what they try to perpetrate. Akhenaten was an alien, so which he wasn't, right? So, because I know
right.
that story with Akhenaten too. I know the true story of him. So one of the things of Paraca skulls was that they found a little bit of red hair on some of them, and I know the person, like I really know the person who was perpetrating that the Europeans were big influence on the natives because the red hair, and that these people were aliens probably. Right? And so what he's doing is he's part of that Peruvian circle that does tours from Peru, and he also is part of the same people that I know who does tours in Egypt that's trying to perpetrate this whole thing about ancient alien technology and things like that. So this is how they make money, you know?
See, you know what's crazy? I know, and I don't mean to be crazy because I know exactly who you're talking about. I don't know him personally, but that's the feeling I've always gotten. And you're solidifying what I've always thought, and that's why I never bought into any of it. It never made sense to me. But go ahead. I'm listening.
Yeah, so his name is Brian Forster. That's his name. Brian Forster is part of this whole thing, right? He's perpetrating this whole thing that these people, the cranial deformation they have, that the reason the natives probably started practicing cranial deformation probably to represent these gods. And they did took DNA tests. And the test came out that some of these skulls, and that what happened was that they were born like this. They were not made by any tools. Like, that's just the way these skulls look. And the DNA came out that the oldest one, which is not so long ago, was 600 years old. And the DNA traces from Syria to Iran around that time, probably pre-Columbian, right? So he's trying to say that this is alien type of bull crap. Right? And this is the same thing they do with Bigfoot. This is the same thing they do with Akhenaten. But the truth is about, because she asked about Akhenaten, the thing about Akhenaten is there's different variations of Akhenaten's face. The Egyptians will over-exaggerate him with a feminine body. You ever seen that picture of him? He has like a feminine body. He has like a belly.
I've never seen
he
that.
He looks
very,
very
lanky,
long,
very tall, very
yeah,
thin.
Very thin, very feminine, long face, you know. But there's other pictures of him that he looks more regular, right? But Akhenaten, they try to use him and say that his alien son was King Tut. King Tut. But King Tut is not his son, because Akhenaten only had daughters. He never had sons. So the thing was, is a possibility that his brother, Smenkare, is the son of King Tut. You see? Because when you go to the Brooklyn Museum, anything, you only see his daughters, like Mary Aten. There's a thing with Scotland and this little thing here that most people don't know, is that the Egyptians tried to wipe out Akhenaten's history in Egypt. And what happened is one of his daughters perhaps may have escaped, and her name was Skota, and this is where the word Scotland may have. So the queen that sits on the queen, if you look at the queen of Scotland, she sits on this rock, this stone under her seat. They say, this is just stories, but they say that Mary Aten, or Skota was her name, died on the skull. And that's where
I've heard that story, matter of fact. And I've seen pictures of it because I didn't believe it. And I looked it up, and they really have that stone there, which I thought was pretty amazing. But, Renee, I gotta ask this because you were saying something about aliens and Bigfoot, and you're saying there's no correlation that they've ever found with aliens or UFOs and Bigfoot. Is that what you were saying before?
Yeah, that's what I was saying, that there's no correlation between aliens and Bigfoot, right? But
there isn't.
The only thing that they is the possibility that Bigfoot is related to bears, DNA-wise. There's no evidence of it, but that's what some scientists are suggesting. Right?
Oh, that's interesting.
Right. But I tell you something that's very interesting, that I'm not saying I believe it. I'm not saying I don't believe it. It's always a possibility. That one guy to me is, what's his name? The guy from Area 51. His name is, I forgot his name. He worked in Area 51.
He's the one that exposed it.
He exposed
Don, what's his name? Oh, I'll get his name. I forgot his name right now. That's crazy.
Yeah,
well, you need to remember something. It never comes out, right?
Yeah, it never comes out, man. But one interesting thing that he describes is that he says that these beings, now, the thing is, he didn't hear this from the aliens. He's saying that this is what he read when he read the contract, right? Well, before he started working there.
Bob Lazar.
So he's reading the contract, and the contract says that, yeah, these beings came up to a thing called Zeta, what's the name of the star? Zeta Regularis. That's the name of the star. So
when it looked at you, was it like looking at a human or?
So the Zeta Regularis is the constellation that these beings never came from, right? And that he says that these beings in the document, in the contract document, he's saying that
when
these
it looked
beings,
at you, did it was
that,
it like
that,
looking at a human or did it feel like looking at a wild animal or?
Actually, it was more like.
So he's saying that these beings said that. That humans have been experimented on more than 10 times.
Okay,
this is
so
what,
he's... Oh, Bob Lazar said he read documents saying that human beings were experimented?
They were experimented on more than 10 times. And these beings been here for thousands of years, and that one of the ships that he was studying was from an archaeological dig.
What?
So what that means is, yes, that means that the ship is thousands of years old, or maybe older. The paperwork, yes. Before he started working there, you got to read the contract. You got to read, like, the memo. You got to read all this paperwork before you start working. And that
let me start a little bit, because I apologize. I'm a little off. So
no, it's okay.
What is it that he... What's 1,000 years old? Or what was it that he found out was 1,000 years old?
The ship.
They
the
found
ship
a
itself.
Ship here.
And from an archaeological dig.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, everything he started saying, to me, it backs up. You know what I mean? And, I believe him. But you never know. Maybe, you never know.
Well, I'll share this. I think I mentioned this before. You know, I actually know a guy that, and he's an old man, right? And he gave me the most craziest story about Area 51. And this guy has major credentials. And this is not just some guy in the corner. This is, he retired as an old man working for the government. And he told me that Bob Lazar, everything he talked about is factual and it's true. He told, and then he shared his own personal story of what he witnessed in his life and what happened. I'll share that for another story. I really want to talk to him and interview him. I don't know if he will, but he told me he doesn't care anymore because he's old. And he's like, what are they going to do to me? Half those people that are dead, and he's old. So he's like, I'm out the door anyway. So he's like, I talk about it now. But he told me that the government would go knock on his door every year, interview his wife, find out if he ever talked about anything for years. And he said, "We've shot and they finally stopped coming." Anyone there? I don't know if I lost anyone.
I'm here, brother. Nope, I'm here,
oh,
brother.
Okay.
No, you didn't lose us.
So,
yeah. No.
So I believe it. I believe that Balthazar, you know, speaking about that. But so pretty much what you're saying is that, and that's interesting because if you think about it, if it's real, that means that Bigfoot, right, was created by aliens, and then that means that maybe they have the power to be interdimensional beings and travel through other
right.
planes because they were given this technology or some sort of high-tech DNA.
That's a theory, right? That's a real big theory. One of them is from Skywalker Ranch, right? Skywalker Ranch is one of those things that scientists to this day cannot explain. They cannot explain. They can't find evidence because they're trying to get evidence. Videos always
Skinwalker Ranch, you mean?
Skinwalker Ranch.
You know what's funny? All these places, Renee, are about 6 hours from where I live, except they're 50 miles around the corner. I need to go.
Let me tell you.
I've already been there.
Mm-hmm. They won't let you in, right? Because to this day, the government is studying. They're studying Skinwalker Ranch. Okay?
Correct.
Because they're finding that some of the videos, even people seen Bigfoot. People seen a giant wolf eating a guy. There was a giant wolf came, right? And he's eating the cow. And this guy came with a 357 close range. Boom, and nothing happened to the wolf. Guy came again. Boom, nothing happened to the wolf. Like a 357, bro, would shoot you from the head and open your asshole. Like that's how powerful the gun is. You know? And it's crazy.
Creepy. And
it's
Luke,
creepy.
Have you guys ever heard of Skinwalker Ranch?
I've never heard of Skinwalker Ranch before.
Oh, you have
to
research
have
this.
So. Oh,
yeah. Man. There's a documentary on it on Prime.
Oh, there is. I'm going to check it out.
Yes, there is.
Luke, you there?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to look at it tomorrow.
Skinwalker Ranch is one of the most... Have you heard of it, Lou? Skinwalker Ranch?
Yeah, I did. I'm checking out the documentary on that. That's pretty cool.
The reason, just to give a little bit of history, the reason why it's called Skinwalker Ranch is because supposedly there was a war between the Navajos, I think, and the Ute, and then the medicine men there, after a while, like, they put a curse in that land. So they called it Skinwalker Ranch because the Navajos said that the whole area is cursed, and there's skinwalkers there, or whatever it is, they run into things that do not make sense. So Native people stayed away from that land. So till this day, like Renee was saying, people see the most craziest things. Like you know who Robert Bigelow is?
Robert Bigelow. He's a rich man.
He's a billionaire. So Robert Bigelow's a billionaire, and he actually, Robert Bigelow Airspace, right? So he has a contact with the government. He actually owned it since the 90s. He just sold it recently to another millionaire. And all he did was have secret experiments as to what is going on in that ranch. So why would you have a guy that works for the government, not a guy from around the corner, buy the ranch to do all kinds of experiments that would seem, you know what I mean? Like all kinds of paranormal experiments with UFOs, Bigfoot, and like Renee was saying, that was one of the most famous stories about the wolf. The guy, the original owner of the ranch, shot it point blank, and the wolf just looked at him and kept eating, and then left when it was ready. He left. And did you ever see that footage they caught of this wolf just appearing out of nowhere at Skywalker Ranch?
Yes.
Did you guys ever see that? You've seen that,
yes.
Right? That was freaky. But then again, I'm like, is that real or is that edited? You know, you just see footage and out of nowhere a wolf just appears. Like literally appears. Like from another dimension or something. Just starts walking around.
Yep. Exactly.
Which is what people say they see happen there all the time.
Yeah. So
Lewis,
funny. Lewis is there. Lewis is there. He's there. You know, it's funny
you.
That... you also said Sasquatch and Bigfoot. You forgot one more, the Abominable Snowman, right? From
that's right.
Alaska, from Alaska, People believe that, you know, you can hallucinate while you're up there because of the air quality. So you start hallucinating, you look at a polar bear, you think it's some kind of, you know, this
walking
giant
beast.
Thing walking up. Exactly, exactly.
Wait, that's not...
So,
wait a minute. That,
huh?
Wait a minute. Hold on. That's from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
That is true.
Jack Frost.
Yeah, Jack Frost. Jack Frost.
No, they had the,
yeah, that's
they had
true.
That guy, right? They took that the elf took his teeth out.
Yeah,
you're right.
Guy,
now,
you're right. You're right.
This is funny. You know what's funny is like, you know. So it's always good to question a lot of certain people, right? Especially people who say they've seen certain things and claim certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're trying to tell a story, you know? And I know this from experience. Like, I know people who've done, like, really credible people and that you've seen probably on TV. Like, I've known some of these people. And a lot of them are there to sell a story. You know, Van Doneghan, another one. I love his book. I love his book, Chariots of the Gods, but he's selling something to get the audience. And another thing is that a lot of these so-called Egyptologists or so-called archaeologists don't know what they're reading something, but they don't know how to comprehend what they're reading. You know what I mean? Because there's a story of the Sumerians by aliens, right? They think Sumerians aliens, that the first time they did an experiment on humans and then they created this first human called Adamu, which of course is Adam, right? But they don't understand what the story of the Sumerians are talking about, right? But
interesting.
Yeah, they don't understand what they're talking about, actually. Like, the story of Noah and Atlantis, they think the Atlantis and the aliens and Bigfoot came from Atlantis and, you know, all of these kind of everything that's seen very fantasy type of thing to sell things. I don't necessarily believe that Atlantis existed in anything, right? But the story of Bigfoot was some of these witnesses, more than one person have seen it. So there has to be something out there that they've seen, right? It's just like the Mothman prophecy. It's just like, you never heard of the Mothman, right? The one in, what is that state? Pleasantville, I think it's called.
I never believed in the Mothman, but go ahead.
Yeah, and the Jersey Devil, right? I've seen TV,
I like that
documentaries.
Story.
Yeah, that one is pretty interesting, right? They go to Jersey and go to the woods and, now, I have seen something that I would say probably was a UFO, right? But probably, I'm not saying that it was. I didn't see no ship, you know? But what I did see was I was talking to my brother-in-law. He lives in Pennsylvania, in PA in the woods. That's all you see is stars, right? And we're having a conversation, and it's dark. And all you see is like a falling star, but it does a zigzag. As fast and as speeding light, okay? So he comes with a stupid question. I said, you know, because I'm calm about it. I said, hey, I'm not we're having a conversation. I said, hey, not to interrupt you, but I think I just saw a UFO. Because you sure was a shooting star? I said, bro, tell me what shooting star does zigzags when it's falling. You have to be one smart-ass shooting star, you know, to do a zigzag or playing football or something like that. You know, it has to be doing a zigzag and then disappear out of nowhere. Faster than a speeding light, you know? So if there has to be these things out there that they probably exist, and it's probably Bob Lazar is probably right. Maybe Bigfoot is does exist. But we also got to take it with a grain of salt, you know? But not to say that he doesn't exist. I'm just saying there's always a possibility that, you know, people want to believe certain things. You know, but I've personally never seen it because I don't live in those areas. I'm a Brooklyn guy. I'm a city guy, you know. So I could tell you how rats look. So, yeah, you know, but not what Bigfoot.
No, exactly. I totally understand. I mean, I live in the desert, so I never seen anything like that either. But even when I lived up north, I never came across anything that looked remotely or reminded me or heard anything besides that rock story that I said earlier. You know, Creepy, you there?
Yeah. I
what
can't
about
say
you?
That I've ever experienced anything regarding Bigfoot, nothing at all. And we're talking about My nickname is Creepy. I've seen a lot of stuff. I've experienced a lot of things. Yeah. But Bigfoot, it's never been a thing for me. It's never been anything that I've encountered, nothing that, you know, I've managed to meet other people who have encountered it. I've heard the stories. You know, like I said, I dated a couple of guys that remind me of Bigfoot, but nothing. I can't say that I have an honest experience with Bigfoot.
Well, I was going to say this. You know, I just realized this, that you guys are in New York, and there have been Bigfoot sightings in New York. What is it, the Adirondacks that's up there?
Yeah, that's up past Syracuse. But that's upstate.
Yeah.
That's hours away. That's past Albany.
Yeah, that's past Albany.
Not necessarily,
yeah. We have one,
though, right?
You mean, you're talking about a Louis Ramos foot? I know there's one called Louis Rock. But no, it's a...
Yeah,
well, if that's the case, I saw that one not that long ago in Pennsylvania and Potsdam.
Wait, what's going on here?
But yeah, nah, upstate New York, maybe if they've seen them, if we're talking about the Adirondacks, we're talking about close to Syracuse. So we're talking about the Utica, Syracuse, Albany region. And that's all the way center of New York, a couple hours away from Canada.
Yeah, you know, as far upstate as I hike to Minnewasaka mountains and stuff. Now look, I love nature, you know what I mean? But to me, nature can kill you at the same time. I don't do the crazy shit like some of these white people do in the woods, you know? And I go hiking, but once the sun starts to come down, it's time for me to get the fuck out, you know, because I'm not going to be in the woods in the nighttime because I don't know what's out there. And one sign was...
Unlike Lou, who does this crap all the time.
Well, Lewis is a different breed.
No, I'm talking about Fadiya over here. We talk about Spooky Lou.
Oh, Spooky Lou.
Yeah,
well,
man.
Damn,
yo,
man.
I have
you lived in Vegas too long, Papa.
I know. I have footage where I've gone deep, man. Maybe about
to go out there so I could go die in the woods or some shit.
Yeah,
I have footage.
Well, look, man,
and I've gone deep where I'm talking about maybe like 5 miles in hiking in the middle of the night, pure darkness, bro. And I used to go all the time. People would be, I would be live, and people were like, "Oh my!"
By yourself?
If you go to New Mexico, by myself. If you go to
I'm going to New Mexico in June. I'm going to New Mexico.
No, no. I'm talking about Facebook, right? So I have Spooky Lou's Paranormal, and then there's another site. It's called Unknown New Mexico. If you go there, I have footage of myself middle of the night hiking, bro, like pure darkness. And there's people that are like, "Oh my God, I'm in my bedroom right now watching you hiking in the middle of the dark." And they're like, "What are you like? I'm scared. Oh my God, dude, you're crazy." I would do it all the time. I would go ghost something by myself because nobody ever wanted to go until someone told me, "Lou, you know that there's mountain lions out there and they see you at night. You're not going to see them." So, hello? After that, I kind of just slowed down with the hiking at night.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get my leg bitten off. Bro, I'm mad.
Your leg.
Yo, I swear, Lou, I don't know how you do it, bro. I would have been like, "Yo, bro, it's getting dark. You need to head back." You know? Now,
yeah,
I wouldn't mind camping,
I've done
but, you know, I would have to be with guns. I have to be with something. I have to be with some weapons, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that's the only
way,
bro. Yeah. I'm going to Albuquerque, New Mexico, in June 17th to the 21st. And I was researching things. I'm going to visit a friend of mine over there and stuff like that. And I'm going to just for a vacation. And so I'm thinking like places to visit. I'm like, "Oh, look, Roswell's not far from there, right?
So cool."
I'm looking at Roswell, and it says something about that. I misread it, though. I have to reread it. And it was talking about, the best time to go over there is with a four-wheeler because it's one of those areas where it's very ancient area where there's still fossils. And I would suggest bring an extra gas tank and other charges with you. I'm like, fuck that. I ain't going over there. I'm sorry. I'm not.
Yeah,
that sounds
just,
like a...
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, I'm good. Then I, yeah, you know, so I said, I'm scratching that out of my bucket. I'm not going there. So
Even here, to get certain places, you need like four-wheel drive and extra stuff because, dude, some of these places I've been to, if you break down, it's a wrap. Like, it might be days before someone finds you, or if they find you. You know, I used to do it all the time, but I had a few close calls, and I said, you know what, it's not worth it. I love my life. I'm not gonna put myself in this situation, especially in June. That's
in June, hell. No,
it's
I had
too
an ex-boss.
Hot.
Yeah, it's too hot, bro. I can't do the heat. And I had an ex-boss whose niece hikes. She likes to hike. This lady went hiking somewhere. I don't know, it was Canada? But, bro, she everything, her phone died. I guess she went too far. And she was lost by herself, bro. Okay? And she camped, and then what happened is her phone died. She couldn't find a way out until she found her way out, and the helicopters had to come and get her, bro.
Wow. Wow.
You
well,
must be out
just
of
let you know.
Goddamn Lord.
Guys.
It's happened to me twice. It's happened to me twice. Go ahead, Lou.
Hey, guys, we got a witness from Oregon on Sasquatch.
Uh-oh.
She calls it Sasquatch. So let's see if I can get him on. Hold on. I had some technical difficulties before. Sorry, I almost blew your ears out. But let's see. He's a white witness. He's an eyewitness, he says.
Was it like looking at a human, or did it feel like looking at a wild animal? Or
actually, it was more like looking at a big ape.
Fascinating.
It's something I'm going to not forever forget. Not ever. But then again, it was over so quick. I don't know if it could run fast enough to catch us or not, but if it had come toward us, we would have run. Well, they got to be real. I mean, so many people have said they've seen them, this, that, and whatever. But once I actually run up on one myself, I definitely believe it.
I guess that's how you know.
I tell them they're wrong. I tell them they're crazy. These things do exist. Investigate them. Find out where they come from. How come they evade people so much? I mean, it's like they said, you know, how come nobody's ever killed one? They might not have a chance.
Right.
If I'm walking through the woods and this thing pops out of the cedar trees, you know, I can't even get to my gun. You might not have a chance to shoot one.
Right.
Hello?
There you go.
Well, I'm glad
that's
I didn't
so
shoot
true.
One.
That's
I'm
so true,
shoot
right?
One. Yeah, it is. It is. Let me
sounds
tell you.
Like Renee
you know,
talking about
thing?
Better come with a gun.
The weirdest thing I ran into hiking was one time, and matter of fact, it goes kind of like what Renee was saying. Out here, I went out deep, and I got lost, and it started to get dark, and I was like, oh, God, I'm not going to find my way out. So literally I sat there, and I started praying. I'm like, all right, I need help. What do I do? Because there's so many trails to get back. And I stood there for 10 minutes trying to figure it out, and I saw some old man, middle of nowhere, right, just by himself. He was far. And I was like, hey, hey. He's like, he looks at me, he's like, hey. I was like, I need help. This old man, 2 seconds run over, right? He's really far. He's in great shape. He's like a professional hiker. Comes running up. He's like, what's wrong? I was like, I'm lost. Like, I don't know how to get back. So he had a GPS tracker, right, that mapped every single trail and how to get out. So he's like, all right, we got to go that way. And I was like, no, I don't want to kill your hike. He's like, look, if I keep going and I hear in the news that you're dead tomorrow, I want to be able to live with myself. So let's get out of here together and call it a night. It's getting dark anyway. So as we're walking, he tells me that he's a what do you call people that a veterinarian. He's a vet, and as we're walking, we went into some tracks, and he's like, oh, look at these tracks, this is that. And then we went into some weird tracks, and he's like, this is weird, this is odd. I go, why? He goes, this track here doesn't make sense to me because it's too big, and it almost looks like it's a bear. And he's like, there's no bears here that I know of. And he goes, it's not a mountain lion. it's not Coyote. He goes, I have no idea what this track is, but it looks more to me like a bear or some sort of giant creature. He's like, I know animals. I have no idea what that track is. That doesn't make any sense. I got even more scared. I was like, let's just get out of here, man, because I want to be found alive.
I tell you a funny story. I was hiking in PA. I was with an ex-girlfriend of mine who was in PA, and I used to joke with her because she was from Colombia, right? And so one day we hiking, and, you know, I have a phobia with spiders and stuff like that. So we hiking and stuff like that, and she was like, and I saw a piece of shit in the grass, and I'm like, yo, I think there's some bears. She's like, no, that's not a bear. So how do you know? Look at that shit is huge. I said, that has to be a bear. And we in the middle. She's like, nah, that's not a bear. It's a horse. I was like, there's no horses around here. So while we walking, you know, I'm all eyes. My eyeballs are open. I'm searching everywhere. She's like, relax. I'm like, no, because I'm letting you know right now, if a bear comes, you don't run as fast, I'm leaving you.
I'm
letting you know right now. Yeah, so you're going to become Colombian lunch. You know what I mean? So she was just like, yo, that's fucked up. I'm just saying, I'm letting you know, you better be quick. You know? So, make story short, we walking and walking. She was 100% correct. It was horse shit. So she knows her shit from being from Colombia. She knew exactly what it was just by looking at it. You know? So what I'm saying is you need to have some knowledge of type of animals before you go hiking, man. You need to know the difference between prints and everything.
I agree. You know, jogging my memory, I just remembered this years ago. I mean, a long time ago, I was in South Carolina, and I remember I went to one of those slave houses. There used to be I forgot what they're called right now, where there were slaves,
the plantations?
Right? Plantation houses. And I remember that it's because I haven't eaten. I'm, like, getting lost. I remember walking to the back. It was a museum. I went down there because one of my close friends was graduated from the Marines, South Carolina. So I remember going down there, and I went back to the swamp area, and I remember seeing, and I remember thinking no one would ever believe me when I told them I saw this, but I saw a footprint, and it was perfect, clear as day, and it was massive. It was someone like a big ass feet, like it was just big. And I looked at it. Remember, this is before cell phones and cameras and all that, right? And I remember looking at it like and measuring my feet. I'm a size 11 and a half, right? And I mean, I know it's not that big, but it's not that small.
So we got our own Bigfoot on the show.
There you go. And this guy, or whoever it was, I mean, they were bare. First of all, it wasn't a shoe print. It was barefoot. It was just, I could see every single toe. And it was huge. And I remember stepping next to it, and I'm like, man, could this be Bigfoot? But no one would ever believe me, right? No one's ever going to believe that I ran into the swamp and saw this giant footprint, unless there was some guy out there with, like, size 20 or size 18. But it was massive, massive. And I just remember that in this conversation years ago. Don't know what's that. Everybody's quiet. What happened?
Oh, I'm here. I'm here, bro.
Lou, where you at?
I'm here.
Where's Lou?
Well, me and Lucille, we were feeling good, so we got us a cabin way back in the woods. We stepped out for a breath of air, met an 8-foot man all covered with hair. Bigfoot stole my baby. Bigfoot stole my baby.
Okay.
You gotta watch those babies when
the
Bigfoot's
Lou.
Around.
The boy.
I can imagine Lewis.
You gotta watch.
I can imagine Lewis. I can imagine Lewis in the background actually buck dancing to that song. Like I can picture him doing that now.
Well, I taped someone earlier. I recorded someone who had an experience with Bigfoot from Puerto Rico, Borinquen, and he actually is going to repeat what he heard from what we call, I guess, the cuco or saguapa, whatever. This is
saguapa.
Yeah, this is pre-recorded earlier. He's from an undisclosed location in Borinquen. He wants to keep his identity secret. That's what he heard.
Well, I think that guy sounded constipated more than he was scared, my brother.
S&M again. All that weird stuff going on tonight.
Lou, I don't know what's going on, bro.
Well, that's what I got, man. I got some eyewitnesses, man. You know? Who's that guy from Unearthed Science again? Who was it? Archaeology, whatever?
Oh, Scott Walter. Scott Walter, yeah.
Yeah, he had a thing on Bigfoot. He had a show on Bigfoot. He was talking about hair samples. Huh?
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Yeah, he had a show. Actually, you know what I brought to him, right? You know what he's going to do next, right?
What?
So the next, because he's gonna come to New York. I think he's going to come to New York soon. What I did brought to him was to research those stones that they found in Puerto Rico.
Oh, you're the one that got me interested in those stones. I thought that was a fascinating story.
Yeah, he's going to research them.
What
did
he say?
So he's like, really?
He
said he's going to put that in one of his episodes, yeah. I mean, he's not doing those shows no more, but he's going to start researching them, though.
I have a question, because you got to ask him this, right? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, because this was too profound for me. And I don't know. Somebody said that it was a hoax. You know, it was on the show. I don't know how real it is. He found rocks that displayed UFOs and aliens, what they look like. And those rocks were supposedly like it. So it was fake.
Yeah, he debunked that.
Also,
yeah,
it was
he
fake.
Said that. Yeah, it was fake, because he said to me in one of the episodes, he was doing, there's some like glue around the face of the alien. So he started extracting it, and he was like, wait a minute. So he said that he did a mistake. He said he would like to be visited because he found that it has to be a fake. So I actually told him about that in person. And I was like, I said, you know, I saw you did this thing. And he goes, yeah, I have to be visit that one. You know, so because there's a lot of it that I brought it to his attention, you know. I even told him straight up. I said, in one of your episodes, you were talking about Cleopatra's Needle in the city. I said, you know, you went to the wrong person to discuss that one. And he has some guy there. And I said, I could tell you right now that if you would have came to me, I would think I would have, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a possibility that the one he's going to do in Puerto Rico, that he might come to me for that one.
That'd be nice. That'd be cool.
Because they found it in Wayania. They found it in Wayania. That's where the stones were found.
I remember you telling the story, man. I did a little research on it. That was a profound story. I think, well, you might as well share to everyone what they found. Cause I know, I'm sure Creepy doesn't know about this, right? Lou does.
Oh, Steffi doesn't know. Steffi, do you know? You heard about it? No?
No.
So Lewis probably has. Okay, so what happened was that in the 18-something, there was a woman. She went to a priest. His name was, I forgot his name. My dad went to his school, Father Pedro something. But it was in a town called Guayania in Puerto Rico. And this woman found these ancient stones. She gave it to the priest. The priest is not Puerto Rican. He's an Italian priest, but lives in Puerto Rico. And she gives it to the priest, and she says to the priest that these stones have been in her family for hundreds of years, and she's an Indian. She was an Indian. That's her thing. And that these stones had writings on them, and the writings look very Semitic, meaning like Hebrew and stuff like that. So they look very Semitic. And for hundreds of years, I have a book by Barry Bell, and it's called 1000 BC, I think it is. And he was one of the first to discuss it, and also Jesse Walter Fuchs in his book, History of Puerto Rico. And there was some speculation that it could have been Semitic writings. Maybe the natives were writing, or some of they would try to teach them writings on these stones. So for hundreds of years, people thought it was probably Hebrews may have traveled, and they used these 12 tribes of Israel from the Indians and all this bull crap. So that's one of the, and it's pre-Columbian, meaning they're older before Columbus came. So that's where these stones were found in Puerto Rico.
I thought that was fascinating.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's very
interesting. Yeah.
Right?
Is that
yeah.
the Aguabana stones?
Yes, the Aguabana stones, yeah. Well, they're not Hebrew. That's for one. They're not Semitic.
They're not.
Some of these they're not Semitic. These dumb, you know, I have to be very blunt because you have to be honest, right? And the thing is that there are some Taino people out there that say, oh, look, our people had a writing system. And that is false. We didn't have a writing system. Because we use symbols to speak, called petroglyphs, not handwriting, right?
Got it.
So,
So
they were like, "Oh no, we wrote these things. We had a writing." No, we didn't have a writing. There's one stone actually in Albuquerque that you can find that there's a writing system that's debatable right now. And look, that looks very Semitic. That looks
Where is it? Pennsylvania?
It's in New Mexico. No, New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, in New Mexico. So, yeah, that's one of those controversy. But they brought the stones to Israel, and they brought it to a Hebrew speaker, and he said it himself, it's not Hebrew.
Really? So it's not Hebrew?
It's not Hebrew, no. It's not even ancient Aramaic. Well, apparently that's what they said.
Huh. That's pretty deep. But it looks very similar.
It looks very similar.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know what Bigfoot thinks about this, but
wait, I got Bigfoot on the line.
Yeah, that's a chupacabra.
I live it all again. I'm a Bigfoot. Whoop-de-doo. I'm a Bigfoot. I live it all again. And all the happy Bigfoots live here too. I like them all.
I'd like to thank Bigfoot for showing up tonight. That's kind of cool, man.
That sounds like Bigfoot talking. That does sound like him talking. Well, you know, there is a real life Bigfoot that did exist. Scientifically, in China. But
what do you mean?
We're talking about thousands. Its name was Gigantopithecus.
Even here.
Yeah.
It existed here in
right.
North America too.
Right.
It was in North America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, Gigantopithecus.
No, definitely. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like
I wonder if it's a ghost. Huh?
It
that's
could
what
be.
They're saying is actually Bigfoot.
Right, they think it's Bigfoot. Gigantopithecus?
Oh,
yeah.
So they're saying that it still exists, and that's
right.
really what it is. Still running around.
Yeah, it's just like they think that the megalodon still exists. You know, megalodon, the biggest shark in the world. Yeah, you know, they think that that it still exists. And the scientists say if it did, we wouldn't be in the waters right now. But, I mean, it's possible, right? I mean, 90% of the ocean, maybe 70%, 90% of the ocean, it still hasn't been discovered yet, or 5% of it, you know? So, I don't know. You know, we would have been seeing it right now, you know? But just like people believed in giant squids like the Kraken, and later on, they found giant squids.
It was real. You know, my favorite story of Bigfoot, I think I shared it last time, was where that hunter was out there and he got lost, and when he got supposedly I think Bigfoot just kidnapped him. I don't know if I shared that story last time. He was kidnapped, and then for 6 days I think he walked and carried him in the arm, and then he took him to a family of Bigfoot, and then he stayed there, and then he said I think. I don't know if they ate something, they all fell asleep. He didn't eat it. He got up and he ran, and he never found out where they took him, but he was there for a few days living with Bigfoot and his family. You guys ever heard about that story?
Yeah, that sounds cool.
I think you did mention that.
I did. Then there was another one back in
in Washington.
I actually
Washington
seen that.
State. Oh, you saw it? What?
Yeah, it was called Harry and the Harrisons, I think it was called. I think it was called Harry and the Harrisons.
That's the opposite, though. The other way around. That's probably where they get the beer from.
Yeah.
But there were these miners back in the 1920s up in Washington. They were, I think, in, what is it, Mount Olympus or some mountain up there where I made that up, but up where the volcano's at. So back in the early 1920s, I believe, these miners went out there to excavate for gold or something. And when they got there, they were attacked by a bunch of cannibals that they reported them as being these giant men. Like, they were just these giant-looking men who started killing off these miners. And I believe they all died except for a few. And I don't know if they were able to, like, close this cave off where they lived or no one's ever been back there again. But that was a story that was published in the newspaper back then. You guys ever hear about that story?
I never heard of that one, though.
No.
Yeah, I think if you Google it, it'll come up, I believe.
I never heard of that one.
We don't know what's out there. We really don't understand, you know, what could exist in this world.
Now, in that episode of Unearthed Archaeology, when he was doing Bigfoot, he went to Asia. What was that country in again? It was, what was
you
the
talking place? About Tibet? Tibet.
He went to Tibet, and they had a scalp.
Yeah, that was found scalp. He got that from a show called Unknown Destination of that white guy.
Okay.
That's why. Yeah.
But he went
there
actually see it.
Yeah, he went there, yeah.
And he wasn't allowed to take any samples, but take a photo of it.
Yeah,
but
that
he
was
said
it
was.
Yeah.
He thinks it wasn't a Yeti.
Yeah.
But they said it was.
Who knows? Who knows, right? I mean, to me, I think that indigenous people, scientists are starting to realize that the traditional oral tradition, not all of them, but some of them, are starting to become true now. Like some of the oral traditions have been passed down for generations and generations. Like the cave, the Indians, that's been from generation from word of oral tradition, and they found that to be true. So they're finding that some of this stuff has been, it's becoming true from oral tradition. However, sometimes it could be romanticized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not all the time, but it can be romanticized. I remember this one person. I won't say names. You know, I won't say names. But this, you know, like I said, you have to be very careful with people when they say stories, because a lot of them, you can either call them on their bull crap and BS. But I remember one time there was this one person that told me that she was saved by a mermaid, you know, and something like that, you know, took her to this world underwater, and I'm like, what the fuck? So in my mind, I'm like, all right, is it this person crazy or is she watching too much?
Oh, she told you this
TV.
Personally.
She said this personally. Yeah. This is like, she's really like on some serious, like she was dead ass, like dead serious, you know? And I was just like, I don't know. You know? It's just like when people say they, you know, I mean, Stephanie was, I think we talked about it last time, with the psychics and mediums, right? You know, when they make all these claims and stuff like that, you have to be very careful with some of them.
Yeah, you
got
to be cautious. You have to be cautious with all of that. Some of it is smoke and mirrors. You know, some of it is people creating and romanticizing, exactly how you said, romanticizing stories and ideas. And they're so good at projecting the idea because they fill it with all that personal feeling in it, that it makes it hard for people to resist the idea. So people just start to run with it, and as they continue to romanticize it, it builds and builds and builds. So it doesn't allow a claim to validity for things that really do happen, because now it doesn't sound so exaggerated and so out of this world, so, you know, non-ordinary. And they're just like, well, you know, it doesn't match the story, so it doesn't make sense, and I can't believe it because it sounds too boring and too plain.
Exactly.
Lou.
You know.
Yes, sir.
Wait, I'm sorry. Do you want to finish something there, Renee?
No, I was just gonna say that, you know, like there was this one lady. She said that one time that I make it short. I was at the spot, and she says, "Renee, I was looking at you, and I saw you. I saw your past life. You were on a horse with armor." And I'm like, "What? I was a conquistador?" She was like, no, you was, you know, a knight. And I'm like, a knight? She's like, yeah, I saw you in your past life. Now, with knowing her, I know how she is. She says that to everybody, you know, so I don't believe her at all. But you just got to be very careful with some of these people.
Oh, absolutely, man, absolutely. But with that said, I believe it's, we probably will never know. Let's just continue to hope and see if Bigfoot will one day present itself or someone's going to get the right proof. You know, I'm glad that we had prior callers sharing their experience where they've actually seen Bigfoot. I thought that was pretty amazing. We're blessed to have people tell us, you know, their experience. But yeah, I think we're going to call the show. I think it's going to be over. I'm winning overtime tonight. You know, thank you, Renee, for calling in. It was a pleasure, man. We're definitely going to do
brother.
A show.
Wait.
Yeah, we're definitely
going
to do a show, and I want you to be on from the beginning. Yeah, go ahead, man. What happened?
You know, you started the show off by talking about science and evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of our listeners, Robert, he just sent me a link on Messenger. It says in 2013, ZooBank, the non-governmental organization that is generally accepted by zoologists to assign species names, approved the registration request for the species name Homo sapiens cognitus to be used for the reputed Bigfoot or Sasquatch. Cognitus is a Latin term meaning related by blood. And the request is made by Dr. Milba Kitchum. And there's over 111 samples of blood, tissue, hair, and other specimens that we call that comes from what they refer to as hominins in North America, referred to as Sasquatch. So it's in the process, bro. It's in the process. Scientifically, it's in a process of scientific analysis. So there you go.
Well, I've heard about that. And I've heard one of the reasons why they're pushing that is because scientists believe, not just scientists, but people believe that if these creatures are real, they want to make sure there's a law to protect them. I believe some states even have protections where you're not allowed to shoot a Bigfoot or you're going to get charged, you know, as some sort of crime. Because if we do find these creatures and these people go out there and kill them, I mean, that's an atrocity, right?
It's
an atrocity. What are these, you know, what if they are rare animals, you know, or rare species? Or what if they're related to us? They're just smarter than we are. You know, so I've heard of that. That going on.
Well, it seems like they're collaborating. It's an interdisciplinary team of scientists and these Sasquatch hunters, whatever, and they're working on it. It's right now. It's going through three levels of peer review. So they're on it, man. They're on it. There's 111 samples, though. Interesting. That's being tested.
I wonder where they're finding these samples from.
Hey, I don't know, man, but it's a long article, but a lot of scientists are in on it, man. If they could only speak to the natives.
Well, the origin of the natives is the key. It's the key.
They never listen. I know a while ago they wouldn't listen about global warming, right? Look how that turned out.
Yeah, like I said, the native tradition, the oral tradition has been very right and correct all along. It's now that they're starting to realize, oh, wait a minute, we should have listened to them. These people have been saying it for hundreds of years.
Look what
happened. That is true.
You know, I mean, a great example is, you know, if you want to believe a native, you should. A great example, there was a white couple who went to Peru. His wife was pregnant. He wanted to go to Peru to see some natives there. The natives guy was on ayahuasca, and he said, hey, you know, I need you to help me out. Why am I feeling back in my pain in my back and my spine? It's pitch black. The guy has a maraca. He's ayahuasca. He's doing a fire ceremony, whatever the case may be. He's chanting. The next day, the native shaman draws what he sees, and he tells him, and his wife is pregnant too. He tells him, okay, you have parasites in your spine, and your wife is going to have a boy. Sure enough, he goes back to the States. He did have parasites in his spine, and his wife was having a boy. So, you know,
wow.
These people are, you know, the natives were, you know, they were something else, man.
That's it, man. We're still here. We are still here. So listen, I'm going to end the show here on that note. All right, Lou. Spooky Lou.
Yes, sir. I just want to say once again, before we end the show, anyone out there listening, make sure you go to Spooky Lou Paranormal on Facebook. Go to Unknown New Mexico. Appreciate the love. Thanks, Renee, once again, man, for coming on. It's always a pleasure, you know. And, of course, Creepy. I think she fell asleep there, but she's the best. And Lou, a.k.a.
I did no such thing.
I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, you and Bigfoot praying, you know, getting the groove on the DL in the background. You know what I'm saying?
Ay, bendito, no.
You killed Bigfoot, eh? I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Go ahead, bro.
Well, I got one final song for Sasquatch. It is the only fitting song I can find that relates to their persistence and courage to continue on. And ready for this?
Ready.
All right, man. Here we go. Sasquatch continues to exist.